Yes, everybody, good morning and welcome. Another week of SEN Breakfast. It is the 29th day of November, a bright Monday morning here, and all thanks to McCafe, who I might point out are our official coffee partner today. We are locked and loaded on the McCafe menu. Ryan Songalia is a reporter at the oldest US-based boxing publication, The Ring Magazine, and Ryan was there at Madison Square Garden to see what many in this country are calling one of the greatest ever performances by an Aussie boxer. Huge underdog, George Ferocious Kambosos, beating Teofimo Lopez via split decision to become the lightweight world champion. Looking forward to having a chat to former Australian wicketkeeper Wayne Phillips as well, who is going to wear the keeper's gloves in Brisbane from December 8. Matilda's defender, Angie Beard, is going to join us. Gee, the Matilda's got towed up by the US 3-0 over the weekend. They're back in action again tomorrow night. And always, all of your calls and texts. The ENS Open line is exactly that, on 1300 736 736. And the text, all on the temper text machine. Keep them coming. 0433 98 11 16. Sam Edmund with you, and a pleasure for me to be joined by the two-time premiership player from North Melbourne, David King. Welcome, Kingy.
Morning, Sammy. Did you have a great weekend?
I actually got burnt on Saturday.
You got burnt.
What a bloody privilege it was to get burnt. Some warmth.
It's been a slow start, hasn't it?
Almost, yeah, we shouldn't joke about this. Always slip, slop, and slap, of course. Yes. That's what we tell the kids. That's what I tell my kids.
And you've got to add two more now. Slip, slop, slap, and then there's...
There is another one.
Shield and slide or something.
Slide.
Slide on the sunnies, is that right?
Maybe.
And there's...
Don? Yeah, Don the hat?
There's another one. Shield. There's five S's now.
Right, okay.
So there you go. Start following the rules.
Well, there was a B now. Burnt.
It was a good opportunity to get organised for Christmas coming in 4 weeks.
Are you organised?
Well, there was not a lot of sport on the weekend, was it?
You went shopping?
Oh, I did a little bit of shopping, yeah.
Online or in?
I didn't get
it. Or in person?
Yeah, the kids went crazy.
Yeah. Took the credit card?
Yeah, they're used to that. They know the numbers off by heart.
CCV.
But I think everyone got a chance to just get the house ready, get the garden in order, because family coming over, you've got to be house proud, don't you?
Now, this is a familiar topic of ours, but have you got the jewel in your house crown yet, your pizza oven?
No.
You still haven't got it.
Well, they're not making them. They're not making them. You put me onto something that the minute you'd put me onto, they don't make them.
I told you it was hot. It while they're hot.
The Gosney Dome,
yeah. Oh,
I like the look of it.
Now I've got the other Gosney model, the rock
box. That is Seek. Thank you very much.
On the Seek cover. Seek I like that.
Seek cover, yeah. Seek, and I'm pretty sure the other one slides some sunnies on.
Okay.
Seek and slide.
So I'm a little bit sore, which is not great, so but learnt my lesson.
You've had a big weekend on the pizza making.
I made the best pizza of my life.
You're a pizza.
Now this is a three-day operation on the dough. Now if you think I'm obsessed, I'm exactly that and more. Double fridge fermented dough with poolish. And you're thinking, what the hell's poolish? As I was when I looked it up. Just a leavening method that they use in bread as well, indirect baking. So
it's a pre-ferment
that makes makes your baked stuff a bit more fragrant and aromatic, especially good for pizza. So you make that 2 or 3 days out.
Right.
And then you bring it back out after a night in the fridge, 24 hours in the fridge. You add the rest of the sort of dough process to it, the salt and everything after that. And then on the third day, you're cooking, and it is heaven.
So you've bought the Gosney Rock Box.
Yeah.
And you love it.
I love it. It's a lot smaller than the dome. The dome is a striking unit, isn't it?
It is.
But this is a nice little compact sort of pizza oven. Easy, gets up to 500 degrees, cooks your pizza in 30 seconds. Absolutely. So great.
What did you put on it?
So I'm a hot salami man with a bit of chili oil on the top, buffalo mozzarella. Oh, that is so good, isn't it? I can taste it now.
Did you bring some in for us?
I did not.
Oh.
Couldn't even get your coffee.
You have been awful today.
Couldn't get your coffee. Not my fault. Mm. Hey, actually, we had a good
Jury's
weekend. There's actually been a lot of death over the weekend, sadly.
That's a rough start.
No, I know, but we need to document it, actually, because... Yeah. Sir Frank Williams died, and you follow the sport closer than most. Motor racing giant, driving force, of course, behind the Williams team, championship-winning Formula One team, died at the age of 79, former team principal of the team as well. So they won the F1 driver's title 7 times, constructors' championship on 9 occasions under his stewardship, Frank Williams. And Alan Jones, we've got a link here, the Aussie. One of only two Australians to win the world championship, won Williams their first ever world championship in 1980. So rest in peace, Sir Frank Williams.
Yeah, and he's got the OBE, he's got the lows, but he's been much celebrated for through his pioneering work. And his personal life, he had that tragedy where he, you know,
bad accident.
Become a quadriplegic, yep. Which is an accident away from racing. And to be able to live with it, that happened in, just looking up that up before, happened in 1986. So he's lived for a long time.
In a wheelchair, yep.
In a wheelchair with that disability, and it hasn't stopped him living. Let's put it that way. And it's hard to celebrate these people, isn't it? I'm sure the Formula One will do a great job in the weekend upcoming as the season reaches a climax. But it's just sad when you start losing those icons of sport.
And we'll play a bit of a tribute to Sir Frank into our first break this morning. But you're still with us. You haven't passed on because people are asking how the concreting go. You survived it. You sent me a photo at what time?
No, well, I got
to... You sent me a photo at 11 o'clock, so 11. Knock off beers at the pub. A couple of empty pots. 11's a bit early.
I knew you'd go with that. I just had a feeling you'd go that way. But my friends here, they know concreting...
How was it?
It was good fun.
Good
I
fun?
I didn't do much, yeah. I did the barrow. I was just the barrow man. It was a small job. I'm sure he's back at it today.
Good banter?
Good banter, a lot of fun. They enjoyed the build-up to it. My man Mark's concreting. If you're yep. looking for some concreting work out there,
of course,
cash only. I was a bit flat.
I pay cash now.
I was a bit flat to see the weather hold off and that concrete truck turn up.
Yeah, threatened to rain all bloody day.
I know.
Except the day just got better and better.
It was good fun. And tell you what, it does do. It's. Look, I only did it because he needed a hand, and his worker was impacted by COVID. Mm. It does give you a respect for, we always see what, you know, the brilliance of carpenters and you know, these tradesmen that can actually wow you a little bit, you know, but even things like concrete, there's such an art to all these things, isn't there?
My word.
There's a respect that you sometimes just need to force yourself to embrace again.
Yep. And when you're concreting,
you need a pair of shoes, though.
You need to put your sunscreen on. And people are reminding us here, Kingy, it's slip, slop, slap, seek, and it is slide.
It is slide, yeah.
It is slide is the fifth one.
Slide the sunnies on.
So you've got a while to go until you turn 124, but a 124-year-old woman as well over the weekend, Kingy, said to be the oldest living person in the world has died.
Formally.
Fran Siska Susano from the Philippines has passed away. Now, her official declaration as the oldest person in the world at 124 is validated by the Guinness World Records. Imagine living until 124. That is frightening. But there is a line in her story documenting her passing that says the cause of death is currently under investigation.
What does that mean?
Is there foul play here?
You reckon?
Who's taking her out? The second oldest.
Does it have to be documented for the Guinness Book of World Records?
So, under investigation.
You think there's been foul
play? Is there foul play?
This is the Columbo and you again coming out. There it is.
One more question,
sir. You just need to know everything, don't you?
Well, that line did jump off the page. I would have thought perhaps natural causes, but maybe someone who wants the record to the throne took her out.
124. No cause of death. We'll keep our eye on that.
We'll follow that one because I feel there's another chapter.
You, more than most, love this sort of stuff.
Hey, Ian, the co-founder of Subway died. Peter Buck, his name was.
Great story, wasn't he?
Amazing. 90 years of age. He was a nuclear physicist, but he loaned $1,000 to a university student by the name of Fred DeLuca in 1965.
Fred was just trying to get through uni.
Fred was just trying to pay his tuition, and he wanted to start a sandwich shop in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I've actually been there. A nice, beautiful little town. And that started in 1965, made both of them a billionaire. He died last week at the age of 90, Peter Buck. So rest in peace, Peter Buck. Subway might be sort
what
of on
they
the wane
today?
In
what were they how
to honour
they,
it. What's well, the black armbands?
Yeah, how would they recognise Peter?
Free avocado?
Dunno. The brown bread might be cheaper today.
Oh, is brown bread? What? You've got unbelievable rhyming slang. Oh, Fred.
Yeah. No, it's
brown bread.
So the two founders.
You get away with that at 13 plus.
They lived till 67 and 90, the two founders of Subway. It's not great for advertising. You'd think one of them would get to 100, wouldn't you?
Not right.
67 and 90.
I'm glad we started with Sir Frank Williams. Right. Roy from Templestowe's
so
texting.
You're going to go with your toasted line or not?
Off the back of your concreting exploits. Who could push a full barrow over 100 metres quicker? Archer, King, Carey, or Mickey Martin?
John Longmire, the quickest at the Kangas.
No, but you got to push. Powerful. You got to push the.
Hey, the bloke's 110 kilo. He could push a barrow. Don't worry about that.
Johnny Longmire.
Yeah,
110.
He would have been. Yeah,
110 in his playing days.
Well, what would
horse? Well, surely not that heavy, is he? Crikey's, what an athlete! He couldn't have been that heavy.
Well, Plugger was 108, wasn't he? 110, though, around.
You're
that.
Saying he's heavier than Plugger.
I'll just throw 110 out. I'm checking the record.
I reckon a horse might be on the blower.
Jeez, I didn't think I had to be.
To
exact.
Say you've added 20 gigs to my friend.
I didn't add 20 gigs. He would have. Well, he would be 100.
I'm looking this up.
Okay.
I'm having a look at this in the break. We'll set the record straight. I reckon.
It wasn't questioned on brown bread, but it mentioned Longmire's 110 kilo.
Hey,
gone crazy.
What about this? Hey, this. What about this, right? So the A-League started...
Welcome to the Tobin Brothers Hour. That's very good.
Well, very we had good. To... Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate, but may they all rest in peace, of course. So, hey, Perth Glory, the A-League's underway. Now, Perth Glory have got the rough end of the stick at the moment, Kingy, due to the border restrictions. They've got a four-state... 8-match road trip underway at the moment, Perth Glory, due to the border restrictions over there in WA. And they've got the hope, of course, that they get this done now and they can the situation changes and they get more home games at the back end of the A-League season. But Daniel Sturridge didn't play against Western United on Friday because he told the team he wasn't used to the 4-hour flights and he felt that he couldn't contribute. This is their marquee signing. Former Premier League star with Liverpool and Chelsea. Not used to the 4-hour flights, Gaffer.
What's going to happen if they get locked out?
Well,
if COVID locks them out of... Is he going to be okay, our man?
Do you reckon he checked the map before he signed with Perth Glory?
You know where Perth was?
They're somewhat isolated from the rest of the
country. Next thing you know, he'll be complaining about the heat. Be like Kekkers, mate, from Karratha.
What are they? They're 2,500 k's from Adelaide, aren't they? Their nearest rival. They're about 4,000 k's from the rest of the comp. I reckon he's going to be on the old the Big Bird a little bit.
Have you heard the Sam Kekovich Karratha story? The guy from Karratha.
No.
Oh, have you been to any functions in your life?
Yeah.
Sam Kekovich.
I think I've been to one with Kekka.
His funniest story is about a guy that he sponsors to bring to Australia, an Englishman.
Yeah.
And he sends him to Karratha, and he's at the start. He's really appreciate what you've done for me. By the end, he's this joint. I can't live one more minute at this joint. 1,000 degrees. You need to hear it. Those that have heard it will know exactly what I'm talking about. But if he's, it's more because he's injured, isn't it? He's not physically prepared.
No,
yet.
We are taking a bit of poetic license. He's not because he hasn't played properly or really competitive game. Well, it had been almost 2 years. He played in the season open. He only played 10 or so minutes. So, and they were playing in front of a sold-out home crowd then, so they wanted to show off the shiny new toy, Perth Glory. So that's fine. So he ran around. If it wasn't all those circumstances, he wouldn't have played. So clearly he's not quite physically ready yet, but to use the fact that you're not used to the 4-hour flights.
I can't believe you haven't heard Kekka.
No, I haven't heard that one. I haven't heard that story. That's you did a magnificent job of doing favorite, it justice.
Oh, I can't give away all these punchlines.
He did really well with that
It's
one.
A big build-up. Yeah. He takes the skin off the back of his legs, getting into the car and the leather seats.
Why was he in Karratha?
Well, that's the gag.
That's the story. Yeah. Right, okay. Well told.
Yeah. I can't give away all his stuff.
$1 off at Subway, it should be, as a tribute.
Are you going to read the other one?
No, I'm not going to read that one for you. Keep your texts coming in 0433981116. The NS Open Lines 1300.
You can get away with that at court, buddy.
736 736.
What do you mean, though?
Hey, what about this story as well? You follow the NBA. Well, you follow the NFL, which we've got a live NFL game on at the moment. We've had Premier League. It's wrapping up as well. So, spoiler alert for the NFL, because I know you're keeping an eye on that.
Yeah, I love it. 13, New England lead 13. Sorry, New England lead the Titans. 13-6.
Thank you.
That took a long while to get out.
Start on a Monday.
I know.
Concrete took it out of here.
Longmire's 110 kilo. Got a headache.
Enes Kanter. He's a centre for the Boston Celtics. Second stint at the Celts, I think, for Enes. He's changed his name, Kingy, to Enes Kanter Freedom. Shams Charania and The Athletic reporting this overnight. So Freedom is his new last name. He's had his Turkish passport. Well, people will know the story of Enes Kanter, but he's been speaking about vocal about human rights over a long period of time. LeBron James has been in his crosshairs around China and all the rest of it. But he had his Turkish passport cancelled. His father's been briefly imprisoned by the Turkish government. He's been basically ostracised by his homeland. And he's changed his name upon becoming a US citizen overnight. So Enes Kanter's changed his name. So it's his 11th NBA season. And yeah, second stint with the Celtics. So 29 years of age, just a role player, but been very outspoken. And he's gone to change his name, change his last name.
So it's had an impact already, hasn't it?
I think so.
It's got
publicity.
Us talking about it from halfway around the world. So that, I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
I want to talk more about boxing too.
What would you change your name to? Let's get a couple of suggestions. If Sammy was to change his name by default today, what would you go with? And I've got a couple after you did after you let us down for the coffees this morning.
Ryan Songalia is with The Ring magazine. He's going to speak to us from New York. He witnessed what many in this country are calling probably the greatest moment in Australian boxing history, at least right up the top of them. George Kambosos Jr. upsetting, huge upset of Teofimo Lopez at Madison Square Garden. Wayne Phillips is going to join us, former Australian keeper. Angie Beard from the Matildas, all of your calls and texts. Kingy and I are here for Kogan Credit Cards, where they've got no annual fees, amazing rewards, and garage doors redefined, 4ddoors.com.au.
You can go with Leave Your Foot Long Out today. You can.
I'll Leave Your Foot Long Out as a tribute.
Yes, that's what our man's going
It's not bad. Leave out your delicious.
Leave I out like your that. Foot long today.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. As we go to the break.
Don't forget to slip, slop, slap.
And slide. As we go to the break, Formula F1 world champion Damon Hill. Damon Hill actually won the Drivers' Championship at Williams, of course, and he pays tribute here to his former boss, Sir Frank Williams, who, as we said earlier, has passed away at the age of 79.
Almost home to win the first race ever for the Saudi Williams team.
Wins for Frank Williams' team, six of them here for Alan Jones.
It's a brutally competitive world, especially if you're running a team. And Frank had a passion for cars, for racing. There was nothing else he was really interested in doing. And he was just remarkable in every respect.
Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer Breakfast.
Welcome back, Sammy Edmund and David King with you on a Monday morning. Hope you had a great weekend and you're getting your weeks set up just right. Heard Kekka's story at a function one night. Funniest story ever. That's from Gavin in Tassie. I think we need to hear it from Kekka, Gavin, honest with you.
You do.
Off the text as well from Chaps in Bomb Beach. Lopez was meant to walk through Kambosos out of my chair five times. I hope he gets the credit he deserves, boys. Not many divisions are unified. He will, Chaps. We're researched up to our eyeballs and we're going to go stateside to have a chat to our man on the ground over there in New York. And that is exactly why Ash has called in from Frankston, actually. Kingy, Ash, welcome to the show. Ashley, we got you.
You there, Ash?
Yeah, mate, I'm here.
Fire away, buddy. You watched the fight?
I certainly did watch the fight. What an amazing event that was. Like the guy was saying, Lopez was supposed to just walk right through George.
Yep.
And George wasn't having it at all, mate. You could tell that he was there to fight and he was going to win. The issue I've got is that there was zero coverage of this fight. I actually tried to ring up a couple of times and talk about it Friday and was told, we don't want to talk about the boxing. We want to talk about, draft scenarios and buddy...
That was kinging. Sorry about that.
It's disappointing, mate, because we had a young Aussie bloke that was over in New York City to fight for all the chocolates. And no one wanted to talk about it. And now he's won. And now we want to get on the bandwagon. If his name was Zoo, you'd be all over it. You've got to do better, guys. You've got to do better.
Oh, thanks, Ash. I wasn't aware you were referring to us. You rang us. No, I don't think so.
I did ring.
Oh, yes? No, I'm getting a shake of the head. We might be innocent.
I'm happy to cop feedback as long as you've given us a chance.
Ash, we've...
I want to ask you a couple of serious questions, Ash. So this guy, to me, I'm not a boxing enthusiast. So has he come from nowhere? What's his path been?
George's... he was 19-0 coming in. He come from the backyard, fight in the backyards, the club fights and things like that. The last couple of fights he fought... former world champion contenders, Mickey Bay and Lee Selby. He beat them. He was number one mandatory defence for Lopez. Lopez is a brash young 24-year-old American who basically was supposed to just walk straight through him and go on to these other huge, big money fights.
Hey, Ash.
He looked.
Ash, yep. Didn't our man once fight on the undercard for Teofimo Lopez? I reckon he did. Early on,
yep. He did, and he was supposed to. I think he took a photo with him and said, "One day we'll fight."
Yeah.
You know. But the build up to this fight was worthy of any soap opera. It was just. It was It was the most exciting thing, you know. The build up was just the bad blood, you know. The fathers had a run in at the media day. Lopez's father stormed George's media camp, basically mouthing off.
That happens all the time, Ash. It's hard to work out, Ash, when these things are genuine and when they're staged, and that's part of. I guess that's part of what you're saying. That's part of the problem. Those little stoushes now, they don't grab the headlines like they used to because there's so many that. Are just fake. They're put on.
Hyped up. Now, I appreciate the call, Ash. The fight wasn't, though. That was the real McCoy. And I loved what George Kambosos said afterwards. And he revealed the words of the iconic trainer, Customato, that motivated him in the first round. Because he knocked him down in the first round, the Aussie. And he said, Customato had a great saying. When Muhammad Ali fought an unbelievable puncher in Joe Frazier, you hit him with the best right hand you have ever thrown in your life in the first round and changed the fight. And that's exactly what happened. Kambosos landed that overhead right that knocked Lopez to the canvas, and he said the whole fight changed after that. But it had swings and roundabouts and momentum shifts and all the rest of it, which we'll get into a little bit later.
We'll get into it later, but he's declared himself the best fighter Australia's ever had.
I'm the greatest Australian fighter in history.
In history,
he said.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not the king because you got four kings. I'm the emperor.
The emperor. I came, I saw, I conquered. It is a great story. It is great to have boxing relevant, Ash. I think we take his point on board. 10 years ago, this would have been huge. But boxing has lost its way a little bit. I think particularly with UFC coming in and commanding such coverage. The younger generation love UFC over and above boxing.
Yeah, anyway, Ash has landed an overhead right on us, which I'm not sure was warranted, but we'll cop the blow and we'll go back to the corner and we'll come back.
I don't mind copping the feedback.
No, it's a good call.
If he rang last week, if he had rang us, then abuse us on the Monday. But if he didn't ring us... Hard for us to wear that.
I don't think we've rejected a single call since we've been here, Kingy.